Hey guys, thanks for tuning us in for this 7th episode of Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Of course, this episode is brought to you by our friends at Smiley's Breezy Vapes. Special guests for this episode include Gatsby Randolph of the new documentary in February is due out called Who is Gatsby Randolph? We'll also visit with Ross Matthews talking about the new season of RuPaul's Drag Race. And we'll also visit with Vanessa Bell Calloway. Remember her from Coming to America? Got a brand new movie, American Skin, that's available now. If you would, please take the time to subscribe, drop a like, comment, leave some feedback, and of course, share with your friends. Do want to say thanks to our sponsor for today's podcast, our good friends at Smiley's Breezy Vapes. They're located at 313 Falcon Road in Altus. They've got the Red Basket specials on disposables, and they've got Red Basket specials all the time going on, changing things up. Their doors are open, and they do ask that masks be covering your nose and your mouth. If you need some new hardware, maybe just have some questions, give them a call at 471-VAPE. That's 580-471-8273. You can also visit them online at smileysbreezyvapes.com. Our first guest is Gatsby Randolph. You may wonder, who is Gatsby Randolph? Well, there's a new documentary available coming up in February, and we'll also talk with Gatsby now. First off, Gatsby, thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, man, thanks for having me. I have, a lot of people don't know this, I have deep roots in Oklahoma, so, you know, I feel like, you know, it's like a welcome home moment, so I'm glad.
Now tell us a little bit about the story of the documentary. Started in Memphis, moved to L.A., making the rounds. Gatsby, how did the documentary come about in the first place?
Well, I didn't know I was making a documentary. And the first thing I want to say about the documentary is that when you think documentaries, I'm sure whatever comes to your mind, you're probably not thinking what this is. Because most documentaries about events that are so abnormal that a person probably couldn't make it believable in a feature film, so they do a documentary version as well. And that's either about maybe like an old civil rights leader or something in history that took place, or a serial killer. Well, this documentary actually takes place as more of a narrative of a regular feature film, but everything that you're watching is actually real, so it's classified as a documentary. So I spent the last 15 years of my life recording my life and not knowing I was going to make a film. I originally was trying to make it big in the music industry. And what I realized was if I didn't make it big in the music industry, the journey of me attempting to would be so interesting. Eventually I said, hey, why don't I just turn this into a film? And I looked up and I had made the first reality movie. So that's how it came about. You know, they say great things, you know, you stumble upon, you know, things that change the world. And, you know, it's the first of its kind, and that's sort of how it came about.
And the ups and downs, the no's, the slam doors on the faces to keep going forward through all of those, through the ups and downs, and now to see the documentary come to fruition. I mean, that's got to make that feel a little bit better in the long run, right?
Oh, man, it feels so great. You know, currently, you know, we're up for an Academy Award for Best Feature Documentary, currently in consideration. And if you would have told me, you know, 2 years ago that I'll be having this conversation today with you, saying the things that I'm saying, I would have thought it was possible, but I didn't know that it would come as quick as it did. And, you know, one, the people who are in the documentary are the biggest people in Hollywood, from Steven Spielberg to Beyonce, Jay-Z, Jeff Bezos, Tom Hanks, Reese Witherspoon, and the list just keeps going on. So you have to imagine, when I'm pitching this documentary, on paper, it sounds crazy. It's like Hollywood studios haven't even put this many people together. And the movie takes place, we shoot it, the main scene is shot at the Oscars on Oscar night. So before I had any of this put together where I could hit play, keep in mind, people are just seeing this on a pitch proposal, and they think, like, I must be on shrooms. You know, they're like, who is this guy? So to have it to where not only is it complete and it's about to come out, you know, like I said, for it to be even considered by the Academy Awards, it's unbelievable film.
For you, Gatsby, the when did the road and the want to in your life for music, when did you know you had something special, and when did you also in turn know that that road was going to veer off in a different direction, if you will?
When I grew up, as you know, I was in nightlife. So even in high school, I started DJing. And by the time I got to college, I owned a nightclub. I went to college in Nashville, Tennessee. I owned a nightclub. But I knew that I would probably make my way towards Hollywood because I wanted to have an impact on culture, a national impact on pop culture. And it was just going to be very hard to do that, you know, owning a nightclub. So I got into management. And eventually, I got a record deal offer for one of my artists at Universal Republic. So we pack up everything and we come to Hollywood. And on day one, I think I'm about to get a $1 million check. But this executive walks into the second meeting and he ruins it. And literally, I see the contract get balled up and thrown away. And at 9 o'clock at night, I'm homeless. I have nowhere to go. So the journey really starts from there. And I decided that, hey, you know, just record everything because I was infatuated with cracking the code of how does anyone make it? How does someone make it in Hollywood? And I was willing to turn myself into the first case study and document that.
That's right. Now, Gatsby, if folks want to find out more information, obviously they can check out the trailer online. Where would folks also find more information, keep up with everything you got going on social media wise as well?
Yes, just go to my Instagram, at Who Is Gatsby Randolph. And it's funny, when a movie comes out, if you go to my Instagram, once again, that's at Who Is Gatsby Randolph, you're going to be able to watch my Instagram, picture for picture, and follow this movie. That's how to the T it is with all the events that you're going to see. And I look forward to it. And Oklahoma City, so much love for you. And I see you guys on the red carpet.
All right. Well, Gatsby Randolph, great to visit with you this morning. Looking forward to the documentary and hope you have a brilliant 2021 as well, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you.
Again, this seventh episode brought to you by Smiley's Breezy Vapes. You can visit them online at smileysbreezyvapes.com or find them on Facebook. If you have any questions, you can call or text at 580-471-VAPE. That's 580-471-8273. They do have the largest selection of disposable flavors in Southwest Oklahoma, Smiley's Breezy Vapes, 313 Falcon Road in Altus. Up next is our good friend Ross Matthews. We'll be talking about the brand new season of RuPaul's Drag Race. First off, Ross, thank you so much for your time.
Listen, you know, I'm thrilled to talk to you, and I have never been to Oklahoma. I was in Oklahoma the Musical in high school, and I was a revelation.
Of course you were. Now, Ross, the new season of RuPaul's Drag Race and in all that 2020 was, man, how much of a difference is it? But then again, how much does that allow it to shine through for its true beauty, if you will?
Well, you know, our show is all about bright colors and LOLs and really about telling stories of heart, the human heart. And I think maybe we need this more than ever right now. It is a great respite from what's going on in the world. If you just want to watch a show, be inspired, be entertained, and literally laugh out loud, we are the show. For you.
Ross, one of the questions I've always wondered is, these aren't like 24-hour transformations. These are transformations that have taken years of practice and rehearsal and all of that to get ready for the drag race. And Ross, how much time is devoted, do you think, by these drag queens competing?
Oh, I mean, absolutely years honing the skill. Tons of money too. You know, drag is really about creating a persona. You know, that's what it becomes. Is like it's always like a character study of your drag persona. And you know, you think about this, since the days of Shakespeare, men have been dressing up in women's clothes to portray different characters. So this is a really age old art. But what has become on our show is really mainstream. you know, we have people watching this show that I can't believe. I walk through the airport and sometimes a, you know, big macho guy will come up to me and say, "Hey, Shangela got robbed on his own." And that makes me so happy because people understand that we're telling universal stories here.
And to talk about the stories that you guys are able to share, and then the transformations for the winners, and moving on, how cool is that to see the camaraderie and the family that's built season after season?
It is, because we all have each other's backs. Although they are competing for the crown, you know, as a community, we have each other's backs, and I think the audience does as well. And you know, when these queens come on our show, whether they win the crown or not, they have careers after this. You know, they are touring and performing, and they become huge stars in their own right. A lot of our queens have gone on to star in TV shows and movies, like A Star Is Born. Yeah, they are really being taken seriously by Hollywood and by audiences around the world. It's amazing.
Now, what do you think is the biggest misconception of the behind the scenes? Is it really cutthroat or dramatic as folks would expect, or is it maybe a little tamer than what folks expect?
No, I mean, it's pretty hardcore. These queens want to win, but there is a sisterhood at the end of the day, and we do, because we come from in a community that has not always been celebrated, let alone tolerated. So at the end of the day, we do have each other's backs. But trust me, they will throw down for that crown.
And Ross, something I've been asking everybody is, what did 2020 teach you that you're carrying into 2021, maybe setting the goals or something for you?
Well, 2020 was a tough year for everybody. For me personally, I also lost my mom, which was very tough in this time of isolation. And so I really tried to get myself together. I didn't want to lose a year. I wanted to gain something. I wanted to gain my health. So I've started on a journey. I'm down like 55 pounds, and I'm feeling strong and healthy and good. And so I want to continue that dedication to myself. If we've learned anything in this past year, it's how precious life is. So I don't want to forget that for one second.
That's right. And of course, new episodes as the season continues on, 8 Eastern, 7 local time on VH1 Friday nights. And Ross, if folks want to keep up with all of your extracurriculars, if you will, social media wise, where's the best ways to keep up with you?
Well, in addition to watching Drag Race, you can follow me everywhere at Hello Ross on social media. And I'm on the Drew Barrymore Show every single day, so check me out there, too.
That's right. Well, Ross, always good to visit with you. I wish you a very happy 2021, and hopefully we can catch up again real soon.
I would love that.
Again, this podcast brought to you by Smiley's Breezy Vapes, located at 313 Falcon Road in Altus, Oklahoma. They have red basket specials changing up all the time. Plus, their doors are open. They do have protections available, and they do ask that masks are required to cover both your nose and your mouth. If you need some new hardware, or they have the largest selection of disposable flavors in Southwest Oklahoma. That's Smiley's Breezy Vapes, 313 Falcon Road. And our final guest is actress Vanessa Bell Calloway. You remember her from her time on Coming to America? Well, got a brand new movie available now, American Skin. First off, Vanessa, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you for having me. Good morning, everybody.
Now, Vanessa, tell us a little bit about American Skin, if folks have not seen the trailers or the previews. And man alive, this is a timely film to be talking about this morning.
Yes, it is a timely film, and what makes it timely is the subject matter. The subject matter, unfortunately, is something that we've seen all too many times. We're all too familiar with it. Police officers killing young black men for, you know, no reason at all. Not taking a moment to really investigate the situation. And this takes place where the father and his son are basically in a car together, and they get pulled over for what is a suspicious routine stop. I mean, they really had no reason to be pulled over. But, you know, the police found a reason that they needed to be pulled over. And, of course, the stop goes awry. As and which results in the death of the 14-year-old son. And the father, played by Nate Parker. Nate Parker, by the way, who brilliantly wrote, produced, directed, and acted in this movie. He did an exceptional job. But he tells the story about what happens after the son is killed. And what I liked about it is, like, it's a what if. Yes, we all know the subject matter. We know basically what happens. You don't even have to see the murder. You don't see the murder. You don't see the young boy laying on the street. You don't have any of those shots. You don't even hear the gunshot, because you know what's going to happen just based on them getting pulled over. But what he then does is he finds a very interesting way to bring the audience in, and basically you become the judge and the jury, and you get to see all the different perspectives of what everybody was thinking. So it becomes a what if. What if we had the opportunity to examine, you know, the situation, what happened, why it happened, what could have happened, and how do we not let it happen again next time? And as he says, you know, take a breath, save a life. Basically, take a step back, take a beat, take a moment, and you can actually save a life, because you can think something through, you know, pulling a trigger and then going, I'm here for my life. It's not, maybe not always the thing that you have to do. There's other ways to solve a problem. So it's brilliantly done with a different point of view.
And Vanessa, to also spark conversation, I know that that's what the arts is all about, is not only to inspire, but to inform, and to be able to grab the heartstrings, if you will, and get people talking again. Obviously, that is also a big point of the movie as well.
Yes, yeah. You know, and that, like I said, he wants conversation. You know, he wants people to, what would I do differently? You know, because there's a lot of dialogue in the movie. You know, this is a movie talking about conversation that you can have with your teenage children or your adult children or just your friends. You know, this movie lends itself for that conversation, for you to debate who do you think is right. And you know, because one of the things I love at the end of the movie, one of the characters says, basically, you know, I never thought about it from that perspective. I never thought about it that way. So when you can get somebody to that point, you've kind of like, that's a movement. You know what I mean? There's movement in the right direction, just to get people to say, let me think about this differently than I've been thinking about it the last 100 years that I've been alive or whatever. So when you get people to that point, it makes the conversation more open and more hopeful that things can turn around and people can respect and see other points of view. But more importantly, embrace another point of view. And like you said, take a beat, save a life.
And Vanessa, in the times that we're living in, obviously 2020, what it was, shut down so many things for everybody. Folks had a chance to be introspective as well. And Vanessa, what were you able to dig up in your introspection this past year?
Well, the one thing I learned, and I always tell everybody, if you come out of this and you learn something, or something didn't change, you missed the whole point of it, because I don't think this was accidental. I think this was God's way of calming everybody down, push the reset button to rethink, redo. So I don't think it was accidental. And one of the things I learned is that I really still do like bacon. And it's okay that I want to eat bacon every now and again. I know I try not to eat meat and stuff, but it's okay. I can eat bacon when I want some. And that's what I've learned. I'm sticking to it. But of course, I've learned a lot of other things than I dealt with the pandemic in the flood. We had a flood last February, almost a year ago. And then by the time the pandemic hit, we were living in squalor. My bed was in my living room and with dust, and, you know, it was a mess. I was living in Beirut for a couple of, for several months. So I had a different, going through pandemic with the home that was, you know, in shambles, with my husband who can't sit still 5 minutes. He's an anesthesiologist, but we also have businesses, so he's used to being out, you know, doing stuff. And I had a new puppy at the time, so it was quite interesting. And my adult children live 7 minutes away. Well, my one daughter, we had to bring her home from New York, so she moved in with her sister because she couldn't move in here because the house was in shambles. But it was an interesting time, and I, like everybody else, our family got closer. We had great times. You know, we all learn how to relax in the moment and make the best of it. And my faith got even stronger. You know, prayed a lot. My prayer group that I belong to, we got a lot of sessions in. And, you know, and good, it actually came out of it, you know, financially and spiritually. So I survived.
It doesn't get much better than that. That's for sure. And again, Vanessa, I want to make sure and remind folks, American Skin, where they can find more information about it and also keep up with everything you've got going social media wise as well.
Well, American Skin comes out today, Martin Luther King's actual birthday, and it comes out Apple Plus and also select theaters. And you can catch me on, of course, Coming to America 5, Coming to America 2 is coming out March 5th. I have a cameo on that. And I'm in the current season, the last season of Shameless, which is airing as we speak. This is season 11, so you'll be seeing me in some upcoming episodes of that shortly. And then the show that I star in, my show, Saints and Sinners, Bounce TV, that we shoot in Atlanta, is coming on in March, but we did a TV movie this year as well, and I believe that's coming on in February. So, yeah, those are some of the things I have going on as we speak right now.
There you go. Well, Vanessa, that's a good thing. Plenty of opportunity to check her out. Again, Vanessa Bell Calloway, thank you so much for your time, and hopefully you have a great 2021 as well.
I'm banking on it. That's where I'm going with it. You too. Be safe.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. And if you ever have a comment, question, or anything else, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, all at GQ with Cam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, feel free to click the support tab and follow the instructions. If you have a special guest idea, email me, gqwithcam@gmail.com. Again, thanks to Brandon Allen for coming up with the music. We're going to let him play us out into the weekend. Be back with episode number 8 of season 2 coming up on Monday.